The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Jennifer Presimone about holistic aromatherapy. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news, we have two very interesting tips, and they both come from Prevention Magazine. And the first is a surprising way to beat smoking. And turns out it's eating your fruits and vegetables. So mom was right. For health and wellness, fruits and veggies, those colorfuls. But here's an additional benefit, it makes you more likely to succeed if you're trying to quit smoking. Who would have guessed? Why is this? Well, it's because they have high fiber and water content, and that delays the onset of hunger. Because hunger, it turns out, is triggered by hormones that are similar to those that spark nicotine cravings. It's often mistaken for the urge to smoke, and that's why people complain about weight when they start stopping smoking. All right, and the next tip we have from Prevention is the best way for those tummy inches to come off. And here's a couple strategies for you, especially if you're in the mature years. We'll say for us ladies, maybe in our early 60s and thereabouts. Number one, strength training. Believe it or not, staying strong becomes even more important for us as our metabolism changes, as well as for maintaining our bone density. Ladies, that's a big, big problem for many of us. Osteoporosis, that is. We don't want to just switch to really, really light weights. We want to just reduce a bit the number of weight poundages, if you will, that we're using as we're weight lifting. But it shouldn't be significant, according to the experts. And that would have been my guess. But make sure, before you do start exercising strenuously, including weightlifting, that you check with your physician and make sure it's right for you. And then number two tip for the day for those belly flattening strategies is to be a hottie. Turns out regular yoga practice will strengthen our core. But if we can tolerate it, it's even better to do hot yoga, which is becoming more popular, which is done in a heated studio. As we age, collagen breakdown makes our tummy skin look saggy, even if we have good muscle tone. What a ripoff. Hot yoga releases toxins, which helps maintain skin elasticity. So keep that weightlifting going on, if it's okay with your doctor, and be a hottie. Consider hot yoga, once again, with the advice and consent of your physician. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Jennifer Presimone is a holistic aromatherapist, herbalist, educator, and author. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology, and she is a diplomate in spiritual phytoessencing, which is deep emotional healing by way of aromatherapy. Jennifer operates an aromatherapy business in Florida and is the founder of GenSense Institute, a National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy Level 1 and Level 2 certification program. Welcome, Jennifer, to Your Holistic Health.
Hi, thank you very much. It's so glad to be here.
Well, we hear an awful lot about essential oils now in the non-traditional literature, and I think they're fascinating, but where exactly do they come from?
essential oils are actually liquid extracts that are derived from plants, derived from their roots, their leaves, their flowers. You think of fruits, their stems, the bark, the berries. So various parts of all kind of plants and trees, it's their liquid extract. And so these are historically known to provide therapeutic properties. And therapeutic properties, we want to think about antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal type of things. And, you know, what they do in these liquid forms, because they're much more concentrated than the dried form, but in the liquid form, they're known to shift and alter and change, modify, enhance, and manage our mood, as well as physical, mental, and emotional concerns and behavioral concerns as well. So they're not just pretty scents, but they actually do provide a lot of support for the body in a multi-faceted way.
Well, what I think is really cool is that they're even mentioned in the Bible, and not just as herbs now, and we are distinguishing between the dried products, if you will, so the dietary supplement type herbs and essential oils, the very potent liquid extracts. But in the Bible, in Psalm 44:8, we talk about myrrh. Sorry, it talks about cassia. Myrrh is found in John 19:39, and frankincense in the Song of Solomon 3:6. Frankincense is a very potent, very precious, expensive essential oil, is it not?
It is. It's somewhat expensive. It's not, say, as expensive as rose or jasmine, but it does take quite a while to distill a very high quality because it is a thicker essential oil. And the Bible does reference over, 100 different references, linking back, frankincense and myrrh actually was prized more than gold, as well. And so the benefits that you get from that are just tremendous.
Well, let's talk about holistic aromatherapy. What is that, and how is it different from just the use of essential oils or aromatherapy in general?
In my experience, I used aromatherapy, essential oils for, helping with headaches and, stomach cramps and things of that nature. But when we're truly using it holistically means that we're really tapping into the mind and the body together. You know, we operate as one unit. You know, when you're sad, it affects your whole body. It suppresses your immune system by over 50%. And so holistically, there's certain oils such as lemon oil that has been shown to increase your immunity, but also to, you think of lemon oil as liquid sunshine. You know, you can't help but smile. And so it's multifaceted and it's multidimensional and it's multipurposed in offering a complete connection, tying in what the mental and the physical and the emotional and the spiritual imbalances are with what is going on physically as well.
Well, a lot of marketing and manufacturers must have gotten that message early along their journey to the path of consumer goods, because look how many products for the home are lemon scented.
Yes, and we look at a lot of our cleaning products and they're lemon scented. And certainly, some of them being lemon scented, they may make... You may smell them and go, oh, okay, it makes me smile and it makes me smell good, or makes your home smell good. But the difference when we're looking at that on a surface level and we're looking at it holistically is you want to make sure that the oils are not chemically altered, that they are in their purest extract and distillated form, because that's where you're going to provide therapeutic benefits, where it's going to elicit the response that we're looking for. Because in a lot of chemicals that we have for the home and a lot of cleaning products, they have been adulterated. And basically, in a nutshell, what that means is the molecular structure of that is different, that the body doesn't recognize it the way that it needs to. And when the body doesn't recognize it, it kind of serves as a toxin. It can congest the lymphatic system. And it wreaks havoc on some different organs and different things going on in the body. So we're not getting that true holistic response where it's connecting everything in the body. We have everything working in unison without any trouble, without the lymphatic being congested or it altering, our brain and things of that nature.
All right, let's talk about purity and quality, because I've heard quite a bit of conversation on how to buy, what to buy, types of essential oils, that they're not all the same. And it's very important that we get that message out to our listeners tonight.
Absolutely. Quality is just one of the number one things I always teach when I'm working with anybody, but also in my school, because it's the number one thing we need to think about. You get what you pay for is a common term that we hear often. But in aromatherapy, there's good points and bad points to it being governed by, you know, the FDA and different agencies, and that is an oil can say that it's 100% pure, and it can still be adulterated. It can still contain other chemicals in there. It can contain fillers. It can be diluted in some sense. And so when I personally work with essential oils, I have to make sure that they're of the utmost quality and pure, and companies should be able to provide you with testing. There's gas chromatography is a common test that we use on our essential oils, and what that does is it pretty much gives us a fingerprint. It shows us the DNA of what makes up that essential oil, because lavender, for say, should be higher in certain chemical constituents than, say, frankincense or a lemon. And so, you know, they're all going to look different, but there should be these high percentages of certain chemical constituents. And in a lot of what we find in the marketplace, there's not. And a lot of companies don't do their own testing. They either hire a company to do it, or they buy from a company who's tested in rejected batches. And a lot of companies, some of the companies I work with, if it doesn't meet this exact criteria, they reject it out. And then you see a lot of these other companies that back up their trucks and they take the drums of this rejected material. And so quality is going to play a part in your true healing. If you're looking to, I do a lot of emotional healing and working with people with various diseases, and they have to make sure that they're using a high quality, because we don't want to add any more fuel to whatever's going on with their own health.
So in layman's terms, if I'm going out to purchase an essential oil in the marketplace, am I going to look for something called therapeutic grade? What exactly is the terminology that would help guide us?
There, of course, you want it to say 100% pure essential oil, not fragrance. It's somewhat hard, so you want to make sure that you know the company of who you're buying it from. So a lot of health food stores carry your higher quality oils. A lot of your discount stores are not going to carry the therapeutic quality. Therapeutic grade was a term that was labeled by a couple companies just for marketing, so there's really no such thing as a therapeutic grade. There is a food grade. There is a high quality grade that produces therapeutic responses. And so doing your research and understanding who distilled that essential oil, where did it come from? Did it come from the place in the world where it's known for its highest chemical constituents to offer those properties? Was the soil correct? Was the material picked the right time of day? So if you're truly using it for holistic, you need to do some research. As with anything that you do, you should be educated. The National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy, which is NAHA.org, provides a lot of material that goes into helping the public, you know, and one of my personal goals and of the organization is to provide the public with layman's terms of what to look for. So you really want to know who you're buying that oil from, whether it be directly from the company or from the health food store, who should have done their research before they've put it on their shelf. So really just making that connection and getting that from a respectable and a reputable source of where you're buying that from.
Well, and this is an excellent illustration of one of the foundational goals of this show, which is to help educate our listeners and make them a bit curious and do some more research. This isn't an innocuous field like many of the health products, interventions, practices. While it seems rather innocent, essential oils have risks. They have quality issues. They have manufacturing issues. So we do need to do our homework. And when we come back from break, I'm going to ask you, Jennifer, to tell us a little bit more detail around how these oils can be used, focusing perhaps more on the external today, but also guiding our listeners towards safe use as well. And if you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Jennifer Presimone about holistic aromatherapy. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician and will meet with you in person or by telephone or Skype if you're out of town. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Jennifer Presimone about holistic aromatherapy. So Jennifer, let's talk now a little bit more about the external use or the topical use of high-quality essential oils for either deep emotional healing or relaxation in general. Tell me, how are they used, just physically, how are they used?
With the essential oil, because they are chemical constituents and they produce responses. For example, lavender produces a response of relaxation, and peppermint can produce a response of invigoration. Using them topically, we want to make sure that we add them in some type of carrier, because your essential oils are what we call fat-soluble, not water-soluble. And fat-soluble means it needs to be diluted in an oil, such as an olive oil or an avocado oil or Epsom salt or a milk. Something of that nature that is a fat-soluble substance versus like just straight water, like in a bathtub. Because if you drop essential oils in water in a bath, you're going to see these little molecules, you're going to see these little blobs of oil that sit on top. And they do have responses. So some are camphoraceous, so they can provide this little refreshing feeling, and some are calming. But topically, you know, we want to have them in a carrier, in a massage oil fashion. You can apply that topically to the skin. I do use water as a carrier when I use it as a spray. And the spray you can do as a deodorant or a body spray or a facial toner. I also use that to apply to the abdomen area when I'm working on relieving either premenstrual cramps or people with digestive issues, intestinal bloating, constipation, or IBS cramps as well. So just using it in some type of carrier and not directly on the skin is tip number one when using it for external use.
Okay, and I have heard that. So let's underscore that one more time in a different way. If you're trying to use essential oils, make sure that they're diluted, because if you don't, and even if you do, frankly, at some level, some individuals may experience skin irritation, might have an allergic reaction. Over time, if you're overusing these oils, believe it or not, in the literature, there's even information to suggest that some might be even toxic to the liver. So remember, it's not just taking something inside, ingesting something inside your body orally or having it injected that causes the highest harm. This is a category of non-traditional health and healing that should command our highest respect, even used topically. So it needs to be done with the assistance of a professional like Jennifer, or some healthy research and reading on our behalf and our part before we consume. And as many ways, equally as important to share what you're doing with your healthcare professional at all times, as you know, you've heard me say on this show. Now, okay, so let's talk a little bit then about the internal ingestion, which I'm not encouraging. We're really not focusing on in this show, but suffice it to say, there is, a body of literature that somewhat suggests that this can be done, but I don't think that it should be done without the assistance and advice of a professional as well as your physician. But let's talk a little bit about it, Jennifer, to put that in perspective.
I always recommend, there are times and places that internal consumption can be beneficial, but I stress with the utmost importance that that needs to be done under the supervision of a healthcare provider, a medical person, or a highly trained and certified aromatherapist, because what we were talking about earlier is they are chemical constituents. They do produce and elicit a response. And so internally, keep in mind that they are fat-soluble, not water-soluble, and a lot of people just either take, may read, and some of the literature out there say you can take them straight or put them in your water. Remember, down your throat, inside of your mouth and down your throat, we have linings and we have membranes. And these can irritate those linings, and some of being involved with this professional organization of NAHA, we get the public that respond to us, and I have worked with several people who actually had burned the lining of their esophagus by doing them internally. And so there is a proper way to use them internally. Again, you need to work with somebody that's highly trained, or you need to be highly trained in doing so. But there can be some benefits in doing that, a time and a place of doing that. But I am very cautious, making sure that they're in a fat-soluble carrier as well, if we are going to do for internal consumption.
Right.
But I recommend just strict knowledge. You have to have respect.
Right. I agree. Let's give them that website once again, Jennifer. That's the National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy, which is NAHA.com.
.org.
Oh, sorry. .org. NAHA.org for more information on the essential oils, how to use them or not, how to purchase high quality, and what the history is and how they've been researched. And to that end, let's talk about research, Jennifer. And I've got one study here that just came out in the Journal of Complementary and Therapeutic Medicine, and it's from Iran, and it was done in Iranian women looking at the use of aromatherapy massage and how it affected the psychological symptoms of postmenopausal women. There were 90 women in this study. They were rated with the use of either just massage without aromatherapy, massage with aromatherapy, or, we'll say essential oils externally. And they were measured with use of a psychological subscale of the menopause rating scale. And it turns out that both aromatherapy massage and regular massage were effective in reducing anxiety and depression related to menopause, but the effects of aromatherapy massage won out. Isn't that neat?
It's awesome, because what we find is anytime you have that healing touch, you pat somebody on the back or just hold their hand, during times of stress, it can reduce somebody's stress level. It can make them feel a little bit better. But when you think about aromatherapy is the sense of smell. And our sense of smell is the only sense that does not go through our spinal cord or our digestive tract. It's very instant. And it elicits a response. It goes in through your nose, which is your external brain, and hits that hypothalamus and tells your body how to react to a situation. And when you're using that high quality, it can elicit the response that you're looking for, whether that be anti-stress, anti-anxiety, anti-inflammatory, to enhance that response. It's one modality, and certainly, we should be incorporating a variety of modalities, the yoga that you mentioned earlier, which is movement, the sense of smell, the touch, just incorporating a lot of our senses into that. And I'm so excited to see. There's lots of research out there and a lot of studies done in the Journal of American Medicine and the Journals of American, Complementary, especially coming out of Europe, because this is what they do there. this is part of what they do in their protocols, just to really see and provide people with that hard scientific proof of the effects that our body is receiving through proper use of holistic aromatherapy and essential oils.
Well, and we don't have to travel all the way to Europe to reap the benefits of what you've described. Honestly, think about the last time you had a massage. And I know whenever I do, my therapist is always putting a little drop of lavender on the head pillow, the headrest, or having a fragrance in the room. And that's really what contributes to the experience. I'm convinced that when we invoke the senses in life, we have a better quote-unquote experience, and we're more engaged in, in living, if I could be so bold, not to mention the healing aspects and the relaxing and stress-relieving aspects of that. Should we be employing more of our senses, Jennifer, in life? Do you agree with me?
Absolutely. It's tremendous, the response that you'll get when you're looking for self-healing, but even self-connection. Just really connecting with yourself and finding what is it that makes you happy and that can help you be more productive and just healthier.
You know, we're just about out of time, and I am so thrilled that we've had an opportunity to explore aromatherapy. You don't hear that just anywhere, do you?
No, and I'm really working. I'm hoping that's part of the legacy I'd like to leave is, in this lifetime is to bring awareness to this amazing practice of aromatherapy. When it's done properly and it's done correctly and with respect, you think of our brain, the scent memories. When you smell something, most people say, oh, that reminds me of something. And it can take them back to a happy place, and so I really want to make aromatherapy a household name.
You're doing a great job. Very quickly, Jennifer, where can our listeners go for more information about essential oils and the work that you do?
My website is www.jennscents, that's JennScents.com, and I have quite a bit of information there. There's also naha.org, NAHA.org. There's also, if you're interested in more studies, PubMed, PubMed.com. has more studies showing some benefits in specific oils for specific things. And then there's also one last website that's going to give you some additional aromatherapy information, and that's alliance-aromatherapist.org.
Very good, and we're all out of time. Thank you so much to our guest, Jennifer Presimone. The topic tonight has been holistic aromatherapy. Do read more on that exciting intervention. We're going to close with the quote of the week, and tonight it's about senses. And it's from Hillary Clinton, and I quote, "It is often when night looks darkest, it is often before the fever breaks, that one senses the gathering momentum for change, when one feels that resurrection of hope in the midst of despair and apathy," end quote. Thanks again, Jennifer, for being our guest this evening, and this is Your Holistic Health. And it's Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please visit my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of health-related articles written just for you. And tune in again next week at this very same time to hear Samantha Heller, registered dietitian, clinical nutrition coordinator at the Cancer Care Center at Griffin Hospital in Derby, Connecticut, talking about smart nutrition. Please join us at this same time on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.